The greatness of a nation lies in its fidelity to its constitution and a strict adherence to the rule of law.
Chief Justice David Maraga's announcement that the August 8 election was void and demand for a new poll in 60 days shocked many in Kenya and abroad.
I personally disagree with the ruling that has been made today, but I respect it.
President Uhuru Kenyatta, after initially welcoming the decision, vowed to fix the court if re-elected and called Justice Maraga and the other judges crooks.
For the first time in history of African democratization, a ruling has been made by a court nullifying irregular elections of a president.
Opposition leader Raila Odinga, who petitioned the Supreme Court to nullify the election, called the ruling historic and a precedent for the whole of Africa. His supporters erupted in disbelief at the news, partly because Odinga had previously lost four elections and cried fraud in all of them. Dennis Owino, a political analyst with Kenya Insights, says Kenyans have reason to celebrate.
It's a proud moment to be Kenyan. For a long time, Kenya has been on the limelight for all the wrong reasons. So for me, it's a proud moment to be Kenyan. It's a proud moment for Africa as far as democracy is concerned.
Violence marred the presidential polls in 2007 and 2013, as well as last month when at least 24 people were killed, most of them by the security forces. Kenya's image then was far removed from its current one as a beacon of democracy. But violence wasn't the only reason why people were sceptical about the Supreme Court ruling in favour of the opposition. No court in Africa has ever done so. And 4 years earlier, Raila Odinga had failed to convince judges of the widespread failure in the electronic voting system. Nick Cheeseman, a professor of democracy at the University of Birmingham, was in Kenya during the 2013 polls as today.
In this very country in 2013, we saw a very poor quality election in which many of the aspects of the election that were supposed to prevent fraud failed. All of the technology in that election collapsed basically around the day. And yet the Supreme Court came out and decided that actually it was okay, or at least okay enough, and rejected the petition. And that court actually had, as its Chief Justice, William Mutunga, who was a civil society activist, who is seen as someone who would look after or at least would be responsive to the interests of the opposition. This has never happened in Africa. I mean, we believe there's only three times this has happened in the history of global politics. So this isn't just path-breaking for Africa, it's path-breaking in a way for the world. It's probably the only time you've ever seen a sitting president's election be overturned by a court of law.
This time, the Supreme Court found that there was sufficient evidence of tampering in the transmission of results to warrant a rerun of the elections. But for Wahome Tuku, a supporter of a ruling Jubilee Party, the Supreme Court made the wrong decision.
The way people voted is what counts. It's what matters. Not more about how the votes are transmitted. Because it's clear that Kenyans voted and voted well, and there was no problem in the voting. Nobody says there was a problem. Only in the transmission, that's where the problem is. And I think the Supreme Court should not have nullified that election.
Jubilee supporters were also dumbfounded because the international community had initially deemed the whole electoral process free and fair.
Everyone was in agreement that the people voted, and the problem was in the transmission of the votes. Because of irregularities, one or two irregularities here and there, we have to nullify the entire election. That was not justified. That was not fair.
Kenya's election commission, the IEBC, declared Kenyatta the winner by a margin of 1.4 million votes in a poll vetted by international observers. Those observers today are now under scrutiny. Nick Cheeseman says that more patience is needed in future before issuing statements on elections.
A lot of the actual process around the election immediately looked like it was better. The machines worked in more constituencies in 2013. It was only really later on when we started to realise that certain forms weren't coming in, that the IEBC didn't be seen to making those forms available, that there might be some results that were being confirmed without the right forms. That real concern started to be expressed, especially towards the end when they moved to announce the president elected without actually doing the background work to confirm to the opposition that all of the forms were legitimate. That's when real concern started to be expressed.
And those concerns were taken seriously by the Supreme Court, enough to annul the results, even if it found no misconduct on the part of President Kenyatta himself. Several Kenyan papers have since described Justice Maraga as a person of integrity, in stark contrast to the image of corruption that has long plagued the judiciary in Kenya and elsewhere in the African continent. In Uganda, for instance, the fallout from last year's presidential polls are still being felt in one district in the north, Dokolo, where the outgoing chairman, J.B. Okello Okello, lost a seat to the ruling party's candidate, Paul Omoro, in a vote which many say was rigged.
I am not at liberty to say whether there was corruption or anything, but all I can say is that in respect of Okello Okello versus the Electoral Commission, it did not meet the expectations of the law that we believe should have been considered rather and adjudicated over.
Olal Justin, the lawyer for Okello Okello, says he hopes Uganda will emulate Kenya.
Whatever happened in Kenya seems to be purely a matter for Kenya, and whatever happens in Uganda is also governed by the system in Uganda. However, that said, we tend to think that Kenya has set a trend in the right direction, and that it's something that is to be emulated, something that everyone should aspire for, because we think that that's the true definition of justice.
Kenya wasn't always this way, though, recalls Dennis Owino.
For a long time, the judiciary has been labeled as corrupt and all that without independence and lack of integrity. And it was a good step that, for one, the integrity of the courts have been restored. The judiciary has shown its authority and its independence, and guidelines to the rule of law and upholding the constitution of Kenya that took a lot of time.
Since the post-2007 violence, several new judges have been appointed to the Supreme Court after changes to the constitution. In Uganda, however, judges like Deputy Chief of Justice Stephen Kavuma continue to divide opinion. His ruling against J.B. Okello Okello has been criticized, especially after the High Court declared the opposition candidate the rightful winner.
Those we believe would have applied the law the way it ought to have been applied, we are left out, and those we think are serving certain interests, we are placed on the panel.
Kenya's Chief Justice Maraga, however, has said the judiciary is above the political fray, a stance commended by Olal Justin.
Everywhere reports are coming how people are really elated to find that an African court can, at this level, at the level of presidential election, can deliver a judgment that is welcomed by a majority of the people. We hope that what has happened in Kenya should have a positive ripple effect in the region, and those who feel aggrieved should have confidence going to court knowing that they will get justice.
Back in Kenya, Kenyatta's fierce reaction against the Supreme Court has fueled suspicion that he was complicit in the IEBC's electoral fraud, explains Dennis Owino.
If indeed the president won the election, then with clean hands and everything, then you would expect the president to be mad at IEBC for incompetence and incompetence that has cost him the victory. So for the president to channel his anger to the judiciary and not IBC, and in fact is still rooting for the same IBC that has been found guilty for running a shambolic election. I can say the president is endorsing impunity and incompetence, is endorsing electoral fraud by supporting IBC. Funnily enough, if we go back to the time when the president was facing the ICC, they said that the Kenyan courts are good enough to hold cases, but it wasn't good enough. So I think he would have embraced this as a good thing, and as a plus to show that the judiciary in Kenya is strong enough to handle cases. We don't have to be dragged to international courts to deal with our cases, but it's doing the opposite. So I'm disappointed in him.
The Supreme Court's full verdict won't be known for another few days. A lot of anticipation awaits the composition of the Electoral Commission, the IEBC. The opposition says it must be completely reformed. But with less than 60 days to go before the next round of voting, this seems unlikely, raising the risk that if Kenya experiences another bad election, there could be renewed conflict in the courts or on the streets.